Got a new game which I'm going to need some of you children to help me with. It's called Find the Questionable Ancestor. New game this morning. Find the Questionable Ancestor. Guarantee we've got a few. And so children, need some volunteers ready in a few moments when we come to that. We're thinking about family history and family members because that's what our passage does. And this morning we're looking at a truly remarkable passage in the Bible. We often miss just how amazing it is because we open it up and go, oh, it's just a list of names. And so we read on to the exciting bits. So, grown-ups, certainly, I'd love you to turn to the passage. You can see the reference there on the screen, the Bible reference and the page number. You should have a church Bible, one of these black ones, in the seats around you. Children, you can have a look too if you want, or you can peer over a grown-up's shoulders. We're not going to read all of it. But at the top it says the Gospel according to Matthew. It doesn't actually say that page number, but you can work out it's page 807. And over the next 3 weeks, we're letting Matthew tell us about the events of Jesus' birth. He was one of Jesus' disciples. He spent 3 years and he wrote with Jesus. He wrote his own Holy Spirit-inspired account of Jesus' life and message. And verse 1, you can see, of Matthew's Gospel, and therefore the first verse of the whole New Testament is there at the top of the page, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Let's put it there at the top on the screen. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You might think, well, genealogy, what does that mean? It sort of means family line, lineage, descent. We're in the realm of the family tree. Kids, do you know what a family tree is? Family tree? Is it a tree that your family owns? Is it? Is it a tree that your family lives in? Now, family tree is what is a name we give to talking about the links between our ancestors, our family members who've lived and died and gone before us. Because families have branches, as it were, because people have children, and then they have children, and they have children. It's like a tree with branches. Although what Matthew gives us is actually more of a family line, tracing one line through individual family members rather than lots of branches. So if you look on the screen, imagine this is you today at the end of this family line, and imagine you're going through your mother's line. You've got your mum before you, and then who's there? You've got grandpa, your mum's father, and then a great grandpa, and then guess what? A great great grandpa, and so on. And it goes right the way back. We often just don't know how, well, we know it goes far back, we don't know who they are. Now, maybe you spotted a family line earlier. We had Cherry, we had Tamara. We've got Michael up there. Michael, get better soon. And all of us are in a family line with parents and grandparents and other family members stretching right back behind us. A few we know, but of course many we don't know. And sometimes children, particularly grown-ups, they spend a lot of time and money quite often poring over boring old documents, trying to work out who they're connected to and who lived before them. But wonderfully, the Bible has done that research for us with Jesus. Because after that explanation in verse 1, we get Jesus' family line. We get it in three parts. And first it goes, we're not going to read all these bits, but you can see if you've got the passage in front of you from verse 2 to verse 6, it goes from Abraham through to David. Let's put it on the screen like this. All of those people, Abraham on the left, David on the right, that equates to that first paragraph, first big paragraph in the Bible. And they're people who received great promises from God. They seemed like impossible promises of a great nation, a great name, great blessing. At the top you've got Abraham, and his name meant great father. And he thought, oh, that's a great name, isn't it? Because I don't have any kids. Was God having a joke on me? And then God changed his name to from Abram to Abraham, meaning father of a multitude. So Abraham probably thought, well, this is even more ridiculous. And yet God did have a great plan for him, and we'll come back to Abraham. The second bit in this family line takes you from David all the way to another chap called Jeconiah. And he's in that second section, so it looks like this. What a long family line this is that Jesus has. And then the third part goes from that guy Jeconiah all the way down to Jesus. Now, this last family line at the bottom, they weren't a happy bunch, really, because they were in exile. They were away from their land and their home, mainly because the previous family line, the kings had sinned really badly, and God took them out of their land because they didn't deserve to be there. So they were living under exile. But this third part goes from Jeconiah all the way down to Jesus, where we read, Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. We go all the way from Abraham to Jesus. Okay, you could think of them as first line being like receivers of promise, second one being kings of failure, and this third one being people of exile, something like that. And then you get this summary in verse 17, if you've got that in front of you. There are 14 generations at the top, 14 in the middle, 14 at the bottom. Now we're going to see a few amazing things from this family line. Main thing is going to be that every life finds its significance in the one life. Every life finds its significance in the one life of Jesus Christ. Now, it's going to help us this morning, though, to look at some of the characters in the family line. We're going to look at three. First of all, someone from the first part. And this character is going to be a bit of a trickster. Or another word for a trickster is a scoundrel. A bit of a low-life sort of person. And this is where we're going to play the game, Find the Questionable Ancestor, full of lots of words that some of you kids won't even know what they mean. Questionable, dodgy. Find the dodgy ancestor. I'm sure we don't have any scoundrels in our family trees here, do we? What do you think, kids? Do we have a volunteer here? Do we have someone under the age of 10 who's going to come and help me? It can be two of you if you want, but you can come, grab this microphone, and you're going to need to look around and find the person who is looking a bit like a dodgy sort of character here. You guys? Bennett and Marlo? Yeah? Okay. Excellent. Thank you for volunteering. Glad to see, Marlo, you're suitably attired. Okay, so you, one of you hold this mic. You hold that, Leonard. Now, you want to look around and see if there's someone who's looking like a bit dodgy, a bit like a scoundrel. You know what a scoundrel is? That bit of a bad person. Someone who might do bad things. And when you find someone, you can give them the mic and say, who are you? Is that right? Okay, go. And then bring the mic back to me afterwards. Take your time to have a look. Take your time to have a look.
Who are you?
Well, I've forgotten my name. But I'm Sam. My great-great-great-grandfather tried to abandon my great-great-great-grandmother when they'd had a baby together. So he was made to marry her. And then from then on all legal documents, he was called, literally, a scoundrel.
Boys, fantastic. Did we get the answer we wanted? Did you find a scoundrel? Fantastic. Thank you so much. Grab a seat. On the screen, you can see, officially, Sam's, what was that, great-great-great-grandfather, officially, on official documents, called a labourer and a scoundrel. I'm sure we don't have any other scoundrels. This is all making a lot of sense, Sam, given those of us who know you. Leonard and Marlo, great job. Thank you. So, we have a scoundrel here in a family line. Now, also going back to our family line, there's a scoundrel on the list. If you knew Jacob, you'd know the guy was a scoundrel, a trickster. I reckon his grandfather Abraham used to shake his head when he thought about Jacob. Because Jacob wanted everything for himself. His brother had all the best things and he wanted it all. So when Jacob's father Isaac was going blind and couldn't really understand who was in front of him, Jacob completely fooled him to steal what belonged to Jacob's brother. He was a scoundrel. Now, in Jesus' line, there are scoundrels. Into this family line, Jesus came. Okay, now we're going to find someone else. So I need a couple of other volunteers. This is going to be someone in trouble with the law. I'm sure we don't have anyone in trouble with the law in our families, do we ever? Being found guilty of someone. So volunteer. Do we have another volunteer? Otherwise, we're not going to find these questionable ancestors. Questionable ancestors. Anyone under the age of 10 who'd like to? You can again if you want, but I'm sure someone else might like to do that. No? These boys are going to beat you to it if no one else comes. Come on then. Okay, guys. Great. Well, you know the drill. Might not be as close to you this time, so you've got to look around. Now, you're looking for, again, someone who is just looking a little bit like they might be in trouble with the law in some way. You might have to look a bit harder this time. You might need to walk around, have a look, have a think, have a wander. Look who's looking suspicious. I know that's most people, isn't it? Didn't count many out. Keep going, boys. Doing well. Yeah, they look perfectly normal, those people, don't they? You just walk past. Yeah. What about down here? Oh.
Who are you?
My name's Vicky, but my great-grandfather was Solomon Poster.
Fantastic. Boys, please bring the mic back. We're going to find out a little bit about Solomon Poster. Vicky, what was your maiden name? Poster. Great. Boys, excellent job. Thank you. Grab a seat. You're good at finding these dodgy ancestors. Okay, here's some details about Solomon Poster coming up on the screen. This is the Bucks Herald, 24th of September, 1892, is that? Strange assault case, Solomon Poster. Hammerfield Hemel Hempstead was charged with assaulting Walter Liberty at Hempstead on Sunday evening. Fine way to spend your Sunday evening. As it goes on to say, Poster came up and struck Liberty, knocking him against a gatepost and breaking his wrist. There was a general fight, Poster going for Liberty. Okay, you get an idea of Vicky's ancestors. This was actually the second assault charge which he was found guilty for in little over a year. I know what you're thinking, explains everything about the Vicky I know. Oh dear. And it was a big oh dear for another person on this list, in this family line. His name is David. You can see him there on the right. Now you might think, actually it's not oh dear with David, because he was great. In fact, he's one of the most impressive people in the whole Bible. He's a king, he was strong, he seemed godly in so many ways, and yet he did one of the very worst things in the Bible. And you get a clue, you can see it on the right where it says Solomon, sort of where the handle is on that magnifying glass. Solomon, that's David's son, by the wife of Uriah. In other words, it doesn't say he had Solomon by David's own wife. He had this boy Solomon by someone else's wife. Now, this is a story we looked at a few weeks ago in the evening. And it was shocking, really shocking. As well as taking Uriah's wife, David also took his life. And what David did, by the God-given law of Moses, actually, there was no resolution for, except for the punishment of death. In that sense, he represents every single one of us, a lawbreaker in desperate need of God's mercy, if we're not to come under the righteous judgment of God. Okay, we've had Jacob, we've had David, we have one more person in here. Find the dubious, find the questionable ancestor. Okay, is it going to be you boys again, or is someone else going to rush in and volunteer before they do? Looks like it's... Anyone else? Anyone else? Yeah, come on. You boys sit down and have a break on this one. Excellent. Guys, come and tell me your names first of all.
Hannie and Lewis.
Hannie and Lewis. Brilliant. You're going to help me. Thank you so much for offering to help. Do you think you're good at finding some strange person here? Who wants to hold the microphone? Great. Go for it. Go. You know the drill. They could be anywhere. And you're going to ask them, who are you? Yeah, keep looking around. You're doing a great job. Anyone looking suspicious or...
Who are you?
Getting some help. Yeah.
Yeah. All the way down.
Who are you?
We agree, he looks suspicious. Oh, Scott, I love it.
Who are you?
My name is Betty.
Fantastic. My name is Betty, was that? Guys, brilliant. You've done a great job. Hannie and Lewis, come back up. Thank you. I agree. He looks totally suspicious. I'm not surprised at all that you landed straight in. Guys, well done. You found our questionable ancestor. Okay. Well, Rose is actually standing in for someone else. For Sarah, who's unwell this morning. Now, if Sarah was here, she would explain just who Betty is. Betty's on that picture. She's the woman sitting in the middle. She is Sarah's great-great-great-great-grandmother. And she's there with, I think it's Luke, her husband. They were very poor charcoal burners. And you know the nursery rhyme, Rock-a-bye baby? In the treetop, when the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. Down will come cradle, baby, and all. Well, the story is, this is one credible version of the story. You'll find others online as well. The story is that as they lived in the Derbyshire woods there as charcoal burners, Betty used to lay her babies in the tree, and very tragically, one died after falling from the tree and is buried under that tree. The tree today, that's all that's left of it in that picture. Betty and Luke Kenny. Family members, they don't really come under the questionable ancestors, do they? But ancestors who knew tragedy. They knew tragedy. Now, we were laughing a moment ago. Lots of fun stories to have a chuckle at. But this isn't quite so fun, is it, when babies die? Because life is like that. And this is, again, the family line that Jesus has come into. It's into the lives of those who know tragedy. I mentioned that bottom line of people. There were people in exile, people who were mourning. And this guy, Zerubbabel, with a very long name there, he knew what mourning was like. And he was there when they built the new temple after the first one had been burned down, tragically. And he was there as they wept and looked on and saw how disappointing it looked and how low the people had been brought. In Jesus' family line, there are those also who know tragedy, waiting for restoration. Now, we have lots of interesting stories. We've heard just three, and there'll be loads of others, and do share them with each other. The main thing is, though, as I mentioned earlier, that every life finds its significance in the one life who comes at the end. Jesus fulfills his promises to Abraham of a great nation of families, to David of a savior king, because the title Christ that comes in here three times fulfills all of that and more. Into this world, Jesus comes. He's the answer to all that we see in those characters, misplaced desires expressed in Jacob, the law-breaking, paid for at the cross, tragedies put into the context of Christ's return. Every life finds its significance in the one life, Jesus Christ, the Saviour. I'm going to land on four amazing things. Four amazing things from this family tree. First of all, Jesus takes on our humanity. Imagine you're one of those people in that list. Maybe you've made your family tree on a piece of paper. You're framing it in your hall at home, knocking it up. And you're, Jesus is in my family tree. What is going on there? He literally came into a particular family line. He was someone's son, brother, nephew, cousin. And looking ahead to what the angel is going to say to Joseph, he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's come as a baby. He's not come as a fiery heavenly being. He's come as a male human baby with a hospital tag around his ankle, as it were. In his gospel, John says the word became flesh. It's rather like Matthew in his gospel is saying Jesus joined our family tree. Same message put a different way. Are you letting this hit home this Christmas? Christ has come. God has come. As a man, we live now on a visited planet. Jesus takes on our humanity. Secondly, Jesus takes on our mess. We heard quite a lot of mess in some of the family situations we've just heard about. And Jesus comes into a family tree where the sins are not hidden away. They're really very much there on show in that family tree, framed in the hall. Well, here it is in the Bible. And Jesus himself, that shows that he's not going to evade suffering in his own life. In fact, the story, as we're going to see, is it's going to open with Jesus the child being hunted down by Herod the king and taken to the cross, where he feels excruciating pain physically, but also separation, most of all, from his father. You might think, well, Christmas is all very well, but actually it feels unreal and escapist. All these decorations, all this kind of pretending that real life isn't the real thing. If we allow Christmas to become like that, then yes, we are far away from what the Bible says Christ has come for. Actually, it is about God coming and embracing our mess, embracing life as it is, our street fights, our law breaking, our tragedies, showing us that all of these things find their solution in Christ. Maybe this Christmas, for you, life feels broken, feels irretrievably broken. Well, this is a reminder that Christ has come precisely because life is like that. Because there are people in his family tree and all of us are broken without him. One of the great hymns says, Jesus the Saviour, this gospel to tell, joyfully came with the helpless and hopeless to dwell, sharing their sorrow and shame. Let's not forget, that is why Christ has come. He's not come to be the subject of Christmas cards. Two things. Third thing, amazing thing in this list of names. Jesus is both a baby on the one hand, and he's the Lord of history. Where am I getting that from? Well, normally in a family tree, a person's name appears just once. You have all these ancestors, then you'd have your name in there, just the one time. And there, of course, is Jesus as the baby in verse 16. But raise your eye to the top, and there he is again, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Jesus is born as part of a family tree, but he's also Lord over it. He's the beginning, as well as being the end. And one big mistake we can make is look at the baby in the manger the same way we look at a normal baby. Isn't he cute? Now, actually, like the Magi, the right response to this baby is to bow at his feet and call him Lord and treat him as Lord. So Jesus takes on our humanity, Jesus takes on our mess, Jesus is both the baby and the Lord of history, and then finally, Jesus is both a baby and has a people. And he has a people. What do I mean by that? Well, it's Jesus' genealogy, his family line. These are his people. And that becomes clear in verse 21. The angel says he will save his people from their sins. And the title Christ, which is here three times in this genealogy, really means savior. He's going to save his people. But since when does a baby have a people? I mean, when you were born, did your parents say to you, hey, here you are, and here are your people, and people that you reign or rule over? Well, no, this is completely different. And it's not just those on the family line, but all who believe in his name. And John in his gospel makes it really clear, those who believe in his name are given the right to become children of God. In other words, people of God. Now, there's one funny thing in this family line. In verse 17, if you've got it open in front of you, it says that there are 14 generations at the top. I'll go back to that diagram. 14 generations in the middle. 14 generations in that bottom section as well. Now, that top section is 14 generations. The middle section also is 14 generations. The bottom one is, have a guess, 13 generations. So has Matthew made a mistake? People kind of scratch their heads over this, think, oh, he was writing a long time ago, he probably got it wrong, lots of people got things wrong back then. Actually, or some people say, oh, that's why you can't trust the Bible. But Matthew's gospel is too precise, he's too careful in what he writes for that to be the case. I think Matthew is hinting at something. I think he's hinting at another generation that follows, because Jesus is not the end. He's the start of a people. And so in a sense, it's a bit like having a gap here, a place for your name. Can you put your name here on the family tree and say, yes, I am one of those people in Jesus' line because I have responded to him as Savior and Lord, and I've discovered that my life only finds significance and meaning through him. Remember, the promise to Abraham right at the top was to have a people, a great people. Wouldn't it make sense if the church is precisely that, at the end of the family tree? But what have we seen this morning? We discovered that Sam has an official scoundrel in his family. We could have guessed that. We've discovered that Vicky's family, she's from a street fighting family, basically. That Sarah's family lived in a tree. Not quite. But to have that background with that, you know, when you hear that nursery rhyme, think of Sarah's great, 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 great grandparents. And the tragedy. Everyone has a backstory. We're all part of a bigger story. Matthew's genealogy says, become part of this bigger story. It proclaims Jesus to be God's Christ, the Savior that we need through his life and his death in our place, taking our lives, redeeming them, forgiving, giving meaning. Bringing us into his family, meaning that every life finds its significance in him and in him alone. Have you discovered that for yourself? Let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that this first chapter in Matthew is not just a family line with mess and confusion and hope in what may or may not happen, but thank you that it is a family line topped and tailed by the glorious Lord Jesus. Father, would you enable each one of us to discover our own lives in relationship to him, discover why his life and death can give the meaning and the significance that we do not have. without him. Father, would that be the message that we hear and take on board this Christmas? We thank you for sending Jesus, and we ask this in his name. Amen.